When you drive a vehicle so reliable it's backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty, you stop thinking about what you can't do and start doing what you never thought possible. Visit your local Kia dealer today to see what you're capable of in a vehicle that inspires confidence around every corner. Kia. Movement that inspires.
Call 800-333-4KIA for details. Always drive safely. Limited inventory available. Warranties include 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain and 5-year, 60,000-mile basic. Warranties are limited. See retailer for details.
This GX on Agriculture podcast is brought to you by Haas Nissan in Yorkton.
GX on Agriculture with Rod McDonald.
Good afternoon, everyone. It's 16 after 12, after 1 in Manitoba. Welcome to the Wednesday edition of our program. Coming up today, Dane Fraze, Manitoba Agriculture Crop Specialist, will join us first to talk about harvest progress in Manitoba, which, of course, ground to a halt in many areas, certainly in southern Manitoba over the weekend with that huge snowstorm that hit the region. So we talk a little bit about the storm and the impact it's having on, crop growers, also livestock producers. They've perhaps impacted even more than the crop guys. So again, Dane Fraze will join us to talk about that on the program here today. And also, we've heard a lot recently about the synchrotron at the Canadian Light Source synchrotron at the University of Saskatchewan. And it's such a magnificent piece of equipment. And today we'll find out how researchers are using that to develop and analyze new varieties of peas. We'll hear from Dr. Tom Orkington. He's a professor of plant science and a pulse breeder in the Crop Development Center at the U of S, the College of Agriculture and Bioresources. So he'll tell us how they're utilizing the synchrotron. And also on the program today, of course, we have our Wednesday regulars. Heartland Livestock in Yorkton has a Wednesday regular Wednesday sale. Harvey Exner will have a report on that today. And also the Johnston's Grain Marketing Report. Joel from Johnston's Calgary office will join us on the program today, talk a bit about grain marketing. First, though, the Agriculture Weather Outlook. It's a presentation of Yorkton Raymore and Watrous New Holland. And Sean Prahika, your REMAX Blue Chip Ag Division Specialist.
Agriculture Outlook with Precision Weather.
And time now for Precision Weather with meteorologist Phil Spivak. Lots of sunshine streaming in the window today. Phil, is this going to last?
Yeah, not everybody dealing with it. There's still some cloud cover sitting off to the east, but for the most part, we're getting the cloud cover breaking up in a very nice window of sunshine. So where it has broken through, yes, it's going to remain that way for the afternoon. Where it's not there yet, hang in there. We'll get there. Overall, covering the entire region into western Manitoba, saying cloud mixing with partial sun. Again, where the sun is out, we're fine. Temperature up to around 8 this afternoon. Wind will be coming down. Still, it's up. Southeast 15 to 30. Some higher gusts. We've seen near 40 at times. That will diminish for the evening. Variable cloud cover. And I'm watching this area of clear sky and thinking that a lot of it is going to stick around. So many of us will see the clear sky hold. Some of us will see some of the cloud cover that's wrapping around this little, almost a bubble, a little cloudiness at times. But overall, the night, partly to mostly cloudy, will be around zero. The wind, as I mentioned, lighter, southeast 15 to 25. Not too many gusts either, mostly on the lighter side of that. But there is a storm system that's strengthening to the west, a very active pattern right now. We had one system developed to our southeast. That's now tracking out of southern Ontario and into New England and offshore. Likely will affect the Atlantic provinces over the next 24 hours. But another wave right behind it is starting to strengthen. In between, high pressure is in control, a nice seasonable air mass, seasonally cool, sitting off of the east, getting displaced now by the system sliding in. What this system doesn't have is a lot of moisture. It's going to slide in, pick up the wind. We'll see a gusty south to southeast wind once again tomorrow afternoon. The high is 14, though, as warmer air gets pulled in. The moisture is actually part of a secondary storm well off to our north. So we'll get a little cloud cover through late tomorrow, tomorrow night, but not likely any precipitation. In fact, the cloud cover will linger for a bit on Friday before we get back into a partly sunny sky. Wind will settle down too behind this system, down to 5 tomorrow night. So rather mild night for this time of year. Average low is sub-freezing. And tomorrow, Friday, the cloud cover will give way to some partial sunshine. The high is 13. That's the warmest. We're not going to get a rapid infusion of cold air. We're just simply going to get a gradual release of the warm air. So 10 on Saturday with a mix of sun and cloud and staying dry through Sunday. Sunshine with a high near 11. Really, it's going to be the extra sun that helps out the temperature by the extra degree. The air mass overall, just a touch cooler on Sunday. And we'll see that general downtrend into the new week.
All right. Thank you, Phil. Now turning to this hour's temperature roundup. 2 degrees in La Paw, along with Swan River, Shoal Lake, Russell, and Roblin, all 2. At 3, Dauphin and Brandon, plus 1 in Hudson Bay. Beautiful day already in Regina, 11 degrees. 7 in Saskatoon, 8 for Broadview, Mooseman, along with Wynyard, Wadena, and Kelvington. Indian Head sits at 9 degrees. In the Yorkton-Melville region, it's sunny. The wind is southeast at 31, relative humidity 63%. Our temperature up 2 degrees in the past hour, now 6. Yesterday's high was 4, the low 0. Normals for this date, daytime highs 9, overnight lows around minus 2. Maple Creek was the warmest place in the province yesterday, hitting 10 degrees. North Battleford, the coolest at minus 7. In Manitoba, Winnipeg hit 9. To Dooley Lake was the coldest place in Manitoba at minus 8. Sunrise this morning was at 7:14. The sun will set this afternoon or this evening at 5:56. Again, our current temperature is 6 degrees. It's 12:24 now, 1:24 in Manitoba. A quick break and we're right back on GX on Agriculture after this. Time now for the Beef and Forage Report, a presentation of McDougall Auction Services.
Beef and Forage Report.
The annual fall movement of calves off pasture to market is moving into full swing in Saskatchewan. Saskatchewan agriculture cattle specialist Lee Clark notes feeder cattle prices were also up this past week in the province.
Saskatchewan feeder steer prices experienced increases in all weight ranges over the week. We saw those increases from 41 cents per hundredweight higher to $7.62 per hundredweight higher. The largest reported price increase was for those 300 to 400 weights, while the smallest price increases were seen in those heavier steers at 700 to 800 pounds. Similar to steers, Saskatchewan feeder heifer prices experienced the same increases over the week. Prices ranged from $1.18 per hundredweight higher to $8.60 per hundredweight higher. Similar trends, the largest reported price increase was in those 300 to 400 weights, while the smallest price increases were in those heavier 7 to 8 weights. Canfax reported a total of 14,306 head of cattle were sold through Saskatchewan over the week, up from 10,000 head a week ago. It's also up from 13,000 head the same week ago last year. Prices for live weight, non-fed cattle in Alberta were mixed from the previous week. The price of D2 slaughter cows increased 7 cents per hundredweight to average $86 per hundredweight, while the price for D3 slaughter cows experienced a price decline of 23 cents per hundredweight to average $75.07 per hundredweight. There were no reported prices for fed Alberta steers.
Lee Clark compiles the weekly cattle market update for Saskatchewan Agriculture. And that's the Beef and Forage Report. It's 12:28 now, 1:28 in Manitoba. Ag Review is coming up next. Harvest here in Saskatchewan continues to be hampered by wet conditions. APAS President Todd Lewis farms southeast of Regina at Gray. He says he's hoping to resume combining there later this week.
We did get some of our canary seed off earlier last week, and then had the weekend there, Saturday and Sunday, we got started on some canola. So we're coming along. We're probably overall about 70% done now, and just with canola. And fortunately, we still have a little bit of durum out, but it's still pretty damp. The durum was. That's why we went under our canola. So, as I said, 70% done, and sure hoping the forecast rings true. It sure looks more promising today for the next 10 days. And if we can get that good weather, stage of weather in there and get a little bit of a decent run here, we'll be finished up here within a week.
Today is World Food Day. We asked Lewis about the significance of that for farmers.
You know, for Saskatchewan farmers especially, it's an important day because we supply a lot of the world with their food. You know, especially some commodities, we're the major supplier of, you know, things like mustard, canary seed, certainly lentils, You know, we're a major player in the world market, and you know, Canada and Saskatchewan specifically are export oriented here in Western Canada, and so a lot of the food we supply, of course, a good domestic product, but also an international product. So it's something that, you know, a lot of people, certainly in Canada, take for granted, that a good, safe food supply and plentiful, but in other parts of the world, it isn't near as handy as it here is here in Canada. So I think it's an important day to recognize that what we do and the people that we feed and how important it is to the economy and the world's well-being is the food that we produce.
APAS President Todd Lewis again. Today is World Food Day. It's coming up on 12:30 now, 1:30 in Manitoba. Time for AgriView, a presentation of Peebles Machine and Welding in Yorkton.
To the people tending the land and animals that feed us and support our community, we at Haas Nissan want to say thank you on behalf of all those who depend on you, the farmer. Like you, we are a family business with family values you can depend on. Haas Nissan. Where a handshake still means something.
GX94, AgriView.
Large amounts of heavy, wet snow fell over much of southern Manitoba over the Thanksgiving weekend. Overall, harvest progress in the province is approximately 74% complete, below the three-year average of 88% for this time of year. Prolonged power outages associated with the storm have also affected grain drying and bin aeration activities. The storm halted all harvest progress in the southwest portion. Eastern parts of the region were hit the hardest. Brandon, Neepawa, and Carberry recorded between 40 and 70 centimeters of snow. Harvest in the southwest is 55 to 60% complete in general. South of Highway Number 1, progress is 65 to 75% complete, but north of the Trans-Canada, it's a little slower, 50 to 60%. Crops between Highway 16 and Highway 45 are about 30 to 45% combined. Harvest also stalled in many parts of the northwest last week. Roblin had snow early in the week that melted, and fields are currently snow-free but wet. Swan River also had snowfall around the middle of last week that melted, and some harvest operations took place. Dauphin was the hardest hit area in the region, with heavy snowfall at the end of the week that brought all operations to a halt. Overall, harvest progress in the northwest is rated as 70 to 75% complete. The spring wheat harvest is estimated at over 95% complete. Wheat yields are 50 to 75 bushels an acre. The canola harvest in the northwest region is 80% complete, with yields ranging from 50 to 70 bushels an acre. Some soybeans were harvested last week in the Swan Valley region, yields ranging from 25 to 35 bushels an acre. Soybean harvest at Swan River and Dauphin is 75% complete. Soybeans remain standing in the Roblin area. Flax harvest is done in the Swan Valley region, but 100% remains standing around Roblin. Researchers are excited about how the Canadian Light Source Synchrotron at the University of Saskatchewan can be utilized to help feed the world. They say using synchrotron light to analyze new varieties of peas could be faster, more environmentally friendly, and help to nourish underfed populations. Dr. Tom Workington is a professor of plant science and a pulse breeder in the Crop Development Center at the University of Saskatchewan's College of Agriculture and Bioresources. He says quickly determining the levels of protein, starch, micronutrients, and other elements enables breeders to select lines that provide the highest levels of dietary minerals for people and offers a potential solution to mineral deficiency in many parts of the world. Workington adds, pea protein has been in the news lately as it's a main ingredient in protein-based meat alternative foods, so the nutritional profiles are also important for companies that want to use peas for alternative or protein-based meat alternative foods. Alberta is modernizing the rent and fees that ranchers and cattle owners pay government for the use of public lands. The current grazing fee framework has been frozen since 1994, and the government says the full suite of proposed changes would help protect Alberta's beef industry from the perception by the U.S. of a subsidy. If the bill, Public Lands Modernization, is passed, a portion of revenues would be reinvested in rangeland sustainability initiatives. As part of the proposed bill, government is looking at removing outdated information, including references to homesteading, a practice used to help encourage settlement in remote areas of the province. Dozens more raw beef products are being recalled from some restaurants and grocery stores in Alberta, BC, and Ontario in connection with an E. coli scare. The items are just the latest to be ensnared in a series of safety warnings from the Canadian Food Inspection Agency on products from a Toronto-based slaughterhouse, Riding Regency Meatpackers. The company distributes raw beef and veal products to hotels, restaurants, and institutions across the country. The Canadian Food Inspection Agency suspended the plant's food safety license September 17th, saying the facility failed to implement effective control measures. Thousands of Dutch farmers on tractors blocked traffic in and around The Hague today to protest what they say are attempts to blame them for nitrogen pollution. A court ruling earlier this year found the Netherlands in violation of European emission rules. Livestock are cited as a leading cause of nitrogen pollution, along with construction and transportation, but farmers argue they've made substantial efforts to cut emissions. One political party has suggested the Netherlands reduce the number of live animals it produces. The suggestion provoked an outcry from farm groups. Well, the more the merrier, they say. A Saskatoon real estate agent has a listing for 23,800 titled acres of farmland. What's different about this listing than most others is that it combines three farms in one sale. The realtor was contacted by one farmer to sell his land, and two neighbors decided it was also the right time to sell, so they agreed to sell their farms as one single package. Now, the buyer does have the option to purchase all three together as one farm or the three different farms separately, and it seems to be resonating with prospective buyers. Apparently, they've received inquiries from as far away as the southern U.S. Prolonged rainfall in British Columbia's Okanagan has washed away winemakers' hopes of the perfect vintage. Environment Canada says the region saw more than double the average rainfall last month, making it the sixth wettest September in more than a century. Officials with the BC Grape Growers Association say September is pretty much the worst time to have rain, slowing the maturity process and increasing the risk of rot and mildew. But they say vineyards were blessed with a summer free of the thick smoke and extreme heat created by wildfires in previous seasons, so they're optimistic winemakers can still produce a quality product. And a Quebec-based cannabis company is tackling what may be the biggest challenge that the legal cannabis sector has in competing with the illegal black market: price. HEXO is going to offer one of its products for about 20% less than the cost at illegal dispensaries. The company says the product, under the brand name Original Stash, will sell for $125 an ounce, taxes included, or $4.49 a gram. Stats Cans says the average cost of a gram of illegal weed is about $5.60 a gram. HEXO says the product is aimed at undercutting the illicit market, and it's in discussions on pricing strategy in other provinces and territories. And that's today's Ag Review. It's 12:39 now, 1:39 in Manitoba. We have the Livestock Market Report coming up next. And it's time now for the Johnston's Grain Marketing. Okay, thanks, Joel. And you can contact Johnston's Grain Marketing in Welwyn at 1-800-324-7778. Time now for the Livestock Market Report. It's a presentation of Heartland Livestock in Yorkton and Patterson Agriculture.
Livestock Market Conditions.
First, here are today's closing U.S. livestock futures. December live cattle, $1.13.87 a pound. That was up 0.42 cents today. February live cattle closed at $1.19.6 a pound, up 0.5 cents a pound. November feeder cattle, $1.45.92 a pound, down 0.15 cents. January feeder cattle, $1.42.37 a pound, up 0.02 of a cent. Or up 0.2 of a cent, excuse me. December lean hogs closed at 70.62 cents a pound, down 1.5 cents. And February lean hogs, 78.85 cents a pound, down 0.3 of a cent. And those are today's closing livestock futures. We have the closing grain prices coming up in about 6 minutes from now at 10 to 1, 10 to 2 in Manitoba.
Good afternoon. This is the Heartland Livestock Market Report.
Thank you very much, Harb. It's 12:46 now, 1:46 in Manitoba. The Animal Nutrition Association of Canada expects the first draft of planned modernized regulations governing the manufacturing of feed in the country will come out this winter. Melissa Dumont is Executive Director of the Animal Nutrition Association of Canada.
Our feeds regulations, which is regulations that sit under the Canadian Food Inspection Agency, regulate the entire feed industry in Canada, whether it's on farm or commercial manufacturing. And these regulations date back to 1983. And so obviously the way that we feed animals, the way that we manufacture feed, and the challenges that we have as an industry have changed dramatically since that time. So the new regulations, or the modernized regulations, really are going to be bringing them up to speed with new science, new developments, and ensuring that we have a competitive environment here in Canada, and that we are able to access the same ingredients, manufacture the same kinds of feeds that that swine producers have access to in other parts of the world, especially those that we are competing with on the global market. Earlier this summer, CFIA finally published a letter of intent specifying that they're looking to publish the new regulations in Gazette Part 1 in winter of 2020. So just coming around the corner now after 9 years of hard work, the first publication will still be a consultation. But it'll be the first time that that we actually see the completed regulations. And so with that publication will also come some implementation timelines. Different parts of the new regulations will be implemented, obviously, in different timelines based on, you know, the complexity, the benefit to industry and government, and as well how long it'll take the industry and producers to be ready for those changes. So we can anticipate anywhere from 2021 to 2023, I would assume, those changes coming into effect bit by bit.
Dumont says the Animal Nutrition Association has been pushing for a modernization of the regulations regarding feed manufacturing for almost a decade now.
The current regulations that we were governed by really hinder the way that we're able to manufacture feed and the access to feed ingredients. So this is something that our industry has been lobbying for. One of the big changes in the new regulations, which we don't currently have, is the requirement of preventative control plans. And so the commercial feed industry is quite prepared for that change. Many of the feed industry, over 70% of the volume manufactured at the commercial level in Canada, is certified under the Feed Assure program, which is run by our association, and that is a preventative control plan HACCP program that is third-party certified. So those manufacturers who are already certified under the Feed Assure program are in a very, very good place when the new regulations come in. It'll be a very easy transition, and obviously our association is going to be there to help them along as well. As for producers, this is one of the reasons why I'm coming out to the symposium, is to talk about the changes that are coming, make sure that people are aware. Obviously, we don't have them in writing yet. We don't have our new regulations, but we have a good sense of the direction that they'll be taking, and so starting to sensitize the producers to these changes as well. It's going to be a huge benefit to them to have access to some of these new products. It'll also, help with food safety, food security, being more competitive on the global stage. And those producers, however, who do manufacture their own feed on farm and do use medications, they will be subject to preventative control plans as well. So that'll be something new for producers who do manufacture medicated feed on farm.
Newmont says pork producers attending the Saskatchewan Pork Industry Symposium coming up November 12th and 13th in Saskatoon will be updated on the latest issues related to the manufacturing of feed. It's 10 to 1 now, 10 to 2 in Manitoba. We have the closing grain prices next.
Commodities update.
Canola futures were down at the close again today, November, $460 a metric ton, down $1.40. January canola closed at $468.40, down $1.80. December, Minneapolis wheat, $5.50 and a half a bushel, up 5 cents today. December Kansas City wheat, $4.25 a bushel, up 3 3/4. December Chicago wheat, $5.13 and a quarter, up 6 1/4 cents. December corn closed today at $3.91 3/4, down 1 1/2 cents. November soybeans, $9.28 a bushel, down 6 cents. December oats closed today at $3.02 1/2 a bushel. That was up 6 cents. And those are today's closing grain prices. And finally on the program today, last weekend's freak snowstorm in Manitoba has taken an additional toll on crops still standing in the field. Manitoba agriculture crop specialist Dane Fraze says the storm brought heavy, wet snow to most parts of southern Manitoba, with some areas seeing up to 70 centimeters.
Basically from Riding Mountain National Park, south towards the U.S. border, and then east until the Ontario border. Now, snow fell in mostly in the western and central parts of the region. As we move further east into the Falcon Lake area, that snow started disappearing as rainfall. So heavy wet snow fell across much of the province. The worst damage from fallen branches, excess weight on those branches from the wet snow, came in the central region, basically on a line along the Manitoba escarpment, with Porter's La Prairie and Neepawa areas being hardest hit with the greatest amounts of snow and the greatest amount of power loss.
Priest says when the power went out, there was no grain drying or bin aeration activity.
If grain does need to be dried, we do need to have power to run fans and to run drying equipment. And if that's not on, then those activities stop.
Crops, already downgraded due to wet conditions, were further impacted by the heavy wet snow.
We have seen a wide range of levels of crop damage. The crop that's still standing, obviously, is going to be better off than crop that's been severely lodged or had stems broken. So sunflower and corn crops, by and large, have shown better resiliency. If they were drier and didn't have as many leaves on them to begin with, that the snow wouldn't weigh down the crop and cause it to lodge. So there is a potential that those crops are less affected than some crops that are still closer to the ground. For example, soybeans and canola and cereals that are still out in the field. A low-lying crop that was challenging to harvest to begin with is pushed down to be nearly flat at this time.
The storm also had a big impact on livestock producers.
It's been challenging for livestock producers. There's been reports of cattle buried under the snow, or younger calves in particular, that caught up in the cold, frozen ewes, things like that, having to be brought in. And it's making a real challenge to feed and supplement those cattle that might still be on pasture. Field access and pasture access has been severely limited by drifting snow and heavy amounts of snow that accumulated in shelter belts. So making sure that those cattle are able to be fed and watered is of critical importance for livestock producers right now.
Praise says overall harvest progress in Manitoba is 74% complete.
Still below the three-year average of 88%. By region, it varies quite a bit. In the southwest, it's about 55 to 60% complete. The northwest is a little bit more, between 70 to 75% complete. Now, that take that with a grain of salt, because some areas might be more advanced than that, and other areas might be less. So it's these are regional averages.
And Praise was able to provide us with some regional crop yields.
Wheat yields in the northwest region range between 50 and 75 bushels an acre. Canola is between about 50 and 70 bushels an acre as well. So those numbers are fairly respectable given the challenging year we've had and the dryness we faced early on. However, those crops can make it into the bin. And getting it there and getting a good quality crop has become a real challenge this year.
Frey says farmers are hoping for some warmer weather to dry things out, but if that doesn't happen, there is a plan B.
At this point, from what I'm hearing from most producers is that we would really like a hard frost and to be able to freeze the top inch or two of ground and permit field travel again. If it melts, we need a place for that moisture to go, and if it's frozen, at least we have a chance of traveling over the surface rather than waiting for dry down, which may not occur given the how late we are in the season.
Manitoba agriculture crop specialist Dane Fraze. It's 12:58 now, 1:58 in Manitoba, and we'll close out today's program with the Precision Weather, a presentation of Corteva AgriScience. And just ahead of Precision Weather with Dr. Ryan Young, the Precision Weather forecast for the Quill Lakes, Hudson Bay, Swan River, Broadview, Mooseman, Indian Head, Yorkton, Melville, Roplin, and Russell regions. Partly sunny this afternoon. Southeast wind 15 to 30, high 8. Partly to mainly cloudy tonight. Southeast wind 15 to 25. Overnight low 0. A mix of sun and cloud tomorrow. 20% chance of precip. Wind south-southeast 20 to 35. We'll shoot for a high near 14. Partly sunny Friday. West-northwest wind 15 to 25, high 13. A mix of sun and cloud on Saturday, high 10. Sunny Sunday, high 11 degrees. On this hour's temperature roundup, 2 degrees in the Paw, along with Swan River, Shoal Lake Russell, and Roblin. 3 in Dauphin and Brandon, plus 1 in Hudson Bay. 7 in Saskatoon, 8 degrees for Broadview, Mooseman, Wynyard, Wadena, and Kelvington. Indian Head, 9. Regina, 11. In the Yorkton-Melville region, sunshine. The wind is south-southeast at about 30. Relative humidity, 63%. And our current temperature is 6 degrees. That's our time for today. Join me again tomorrow afternoon at 12:15, 1:15 in Manitoba for GX on Agriculture. I'm Rod MacDonald.
CJGX, a Harvard radio station serving Saskatchewan and Manitoba. We are GX94.